Hey, thanks for joining me at Truth Unbound. Now, you've had this happen just as I have had this happen, and more times than we probably care to admit. You're going through a hard time, and somebody just out of the blue, they mean well, but they use those Christian cliches that are just, well, too cliched. You know, like when they tell you, well, remember, God helps those who help themselves. Or, you know, God tells us that everything works together for good. Or one that's super popular and happens a lot. You know what God says, right? That everything happens for a reason. But do they? Is it always that? Anyway, let's find out here at Truth Unbound what God's truth is really about, what these phrases, these cliches say. Let's jump in. Okay, so again, have you ever had those Christian cliches or others' statements or sayings like those that are spoken to you or someone, usually in the middle of a hurting moment in their life or a horrendous struggle they're having with illness or the death of a loved one or a financial hardship or loss of a job, anything like that? And I have, and likely you have too, had someone step up with the best of intentions, solid people usually. And they mean well, but why do they often seem, these phrases, these cliches, seem to rub us the wrong way? And are they even true? Well, I know this is a little sensitive to some because they're accustomed to doing this, but sometimes we need to step back and and look at what we're saying and what we're doing, especially when we're trying to interject that that's what God is saying to the situation. So let's look at a few of these and find out what God's word really says about them. Thank you for joining me today in the conversation. I'm more than grateful. And let's get the word out about Truth Unbound. And this podcast in particular today would be a great opportunity. So would you share it with others? Share the link on social media by texting to friends and others. And let's see the Truth Unbound family of listeners grow and get stronger with each and every podcast and get stronger in Christ with each one. If you would hit the like button, and then if you're watching this on YouTube, you can hit the subscribe button and hit all notifications. And then if you're listening to the audio-only podcast, just follow us, if you will, and share it as well. And so today we're going to jump right in on this, okay? And let's figure out what's going on with these Christian cliches. A few years ago, John Acuff, who is a Christian motivational speaker and author, and in one teen Bible study he did for Life Church, he did one called Jesus Jukes, okay? And he brought this up, and my family and I are still using this term, even though our kids, for instance, were in the youth group back when we showed this the first time, and it's still common for us to use this when we hear it. We'll look at each other and go, Jesus Juke. All right, so what does that mean? It's called a Jesus Juke because if you remember what a juke is, it's a term used in American football especially. The defender is coming in real hard at the running back. He's going to make a diving tackle at him. And at the last second, the runner makes that quick move, that juke from one side to the other, and the defender bites the dust real quick, like, and the runner goes on and gains extra yardage or maybe even a touchdown, just goes right past him because he did that little juke move and faked him out. Well, John Acuff uses it to describe what happens when a Christian, in an awkward conversation or moment with someone, when they're going through maybe a painful situation in their life, they throw out the first thing that comes to their mind, and it's usually a Christian cliche. It's a knee-jerk response. Everybody usually means well by it, and you juke them, and you kept going, and you felt like you scored spiritually, but you didn't. Hey, I've been guilty of it myself, okay? So I asked some friends on Facebook as well what were some of the Christian cliches that they've heard throughout their lives that they're kind of weary of hearing, and the list slowly keeps growing. And I'm adding a couple of these myself. So here we go. We're going to tackle just a few of these in a short amount of time. Now, all this is a bit tongue-in-cheek, I know, but we're really serious about the intention of our words. You know, in the book of Proverbs, it says that words fitly spoken are like apples of gold and frames of silver. And so it is important what we say and how we say it and when we say it. And by looking at the real meanings of some of these terms and things that are said, we can avoid some embarrassing meltdown moments and then add another way to wisely respond to others' painful moments in life. All right? Well, let's go with this first one. And number one is, God will only give me what I can handle. Well, in actuality, he does. He pushes us to the limit many times. That's why it's called living by faith, as Paul said, and not by sight. Faith being that self-abandoned trust in God. Now, most of the time, this is said to mean that God will make things easier for you than others because you're one of his, or you have this power to just kind of instantly overcome, with some Christian positive thinking, overcome whatever struggles you're having. But if you'll notice that Jesus didn't even spare himself from what was too much to handle in his very humanity. When he took on all of our sin and judgment, just before he did that on the cross, he told the Father in his praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, just shortly before he was arrested and taken away to his fate. And it's recorded in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Jesus said, "He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me.'" This is more than I can handle, is what he's saying. And is there another way? He said this through even breaking blood through the sweat glands and because of the anxiety and the pressure he was feeling. But then he said in that same verse, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." So he was willing to go through what was more than he could handle in his humanity. Now you might say, and I thought of this too in response to a negative response to this cliche, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, where Paul said, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Okay, well, when understanding the Bible, when trying to understand the Bible, remember that the context is always king. In other words, look at what is said before and after, especially before. Paul is addressing the Corinthians' believers' struggle with temptation, the temptations and the testings of lust, idolatry, and pridefulness of sin. You see, God will give us the way to come through those temptations to fail him if we rely on him to guide us through. And so that's what he means by the verse in 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Okay, so scooting along. Number two, God will supply all my needs. Well, this is a reference to Philippians 4, 19, where that very phrase is said. Now, if by this it is meant that you will never suffer need or have times of too much month at the end of the money, then that would be incorrect in understanding the verse saying that. You see, Paul is actually saying he has suffered physical material need and lack, and yet God provided. Sometimes he provided a little, just enough to get through, and sometimes it was a lot. Yet Paul saw God's provision either way and was content to trust God would take care of him. The verse is not saying God will give you tons of cash and a big house and a car. He said needs, not wants. And it might be abundant at times and meager at others, but yet it is still God who provides. The other side of this, too, is that Paul was responding to the Christians who sent a special love offering, and they did so at great personal financial sacrifice. That's an important distinction, because they gave to the need God pressed upon them to help Paul. They gave even though they had little themselves. And to use a counter cliche, it's not always about what God gives to you, but what he wants to give through you. And now here's number three, and one of the most common that are said, and it's quoting usually from Romans 8, 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Now, we're responding to this and calling it a cliche because it's not so much the intended truth itself that's said in the verse that's used in a cliched way, but how it is used and when. It's often also meant to say, hey, it's all going to work out in the end. You'll see. So don't worry. And so you wait your whole life maybe for some mysterious lesson from that finger handwriting of God on a wall somewhere to or I drop out of the sky to suddenly and poof, there's the answer to what you just went through that was so horrible. But that indeed is not what God's trying to say here in this verse. The point in the context here is that God is sovereign and he's in control of all circumstance. Yes, he does bring everything, good or bad, to the good that he plans in the end, which may not be seen until heaven, actually. Does that mean that every single occurrence, good and bad, somebody bumps you in the back of the car, does a fender bender thing to you, or somebody says something flippant and it hurts you, or somebody drops the ball at work and messes up your end of the job. Whatever it could be, it can often just be a mistake, a goof, an accident. It's not always because there's some specific divine cosmic purpose in it. But maybe there is. We don't know. Life just happens a lot of times. And in a sinful, fallen world, it usually happens a lot and unexpectedly and often in a very ugly, random way. But in the end, God does weave all events in our life for his reasons and purposes that he alone reveals in his own time. It will benefit his glory and benefit your life in some way that he only knows. Now, the last part of this verse also makes a clarification that this principle of making all things good or bad work out in the end to God's glory and for your benefit is something that is only for the called. In other words, those who love God and those who are the called. In other words, those who are saved, those who are followers, believers in Jesus. Now here's another one, and this one is used as though God said this, and it's this one. Just follow your heart. Now this is used secularly a lot. In other words, in the secular world, it's used a lot, i.e. Disney movies since like forever. But it's sometimes used as a Jesus juke. The problem with it, the main one is that God didn't say it. It's not in the Bible at all. He actually says the opposite. You go, what do you mean opposite? Well, in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, God says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He tells us as his followers and children to not trust the human heart's leanings, but to trust the heart of God, to die to oneself and to trust him and to do what his heart says for us to do. Well, let me move on to the last one, and it's this. Well, it's just my cross to bear. Now, this one is really way off. It usually is said by a believer in resignation that they can't shrug off an annoying, harsh responsibility that God evidently has thrust on them to endure for the rest of their life, kind of like some endless act of penance. So it stems from Luke chapter 14, verse 27, where God says, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Well, see, the key thing is understanding what is the cross. The cross is not some ugly hardship that has real no connection to God at all. The cross was a tool of execution. Yes, it was, but what did the cross mean for Jesus and for all of us? You see, the cross meant his death for your sin and my sin, for your judgment and for my judgment. You see, that cross is the symbol of his sacrificial love for us so that each of us could have the opportunity to be saved. In other words, the cross to bear is to take the love of Jesus, the gospel, to where it's supposed to be delivered. I remember my pastor sharing this with me years ago, Bud McCord, and it was life-changing for me. You see, to love one sacrificially so that they will feel and know Jesus through us loving like he does, that's bearing your cross. Well, there's a lot more cliches, and maybe we'll follow this up with a part two someday with Jesus jukes or Jesus jargon to discuss in the future. But for now, how can we avoid making a mess of our words and love people the right way, practically speaking? Well, here's some tips. We don't always have to say something at all. The majority of the time, it's just somebody wanting your heartfelt presence, physical presence with them, or your voice, just saying, I love you, you're loved, I'm here with you. You often don't have to say even that. Just a handshake, a hand on a shoulder, a hug, or just sitting down and being with them. That says volumes more than our words can often say in those moments. One example of this, if you'll look at it in the book of Job, when he was suffering after having lost so much so quickly, he had three friends that sat with him in silence for days. But then things went south real quick when they started to open their mouths and put the blame on Job directly and indirectly for all his troubles, when that couldn't have been farther from the truth. He was being tested because he was righteous. He was a good, God-fearing man. You know, if you say anything, just say a prayer within yourself for them. Talk to God more than you talk to them in those moments. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version, he says, "Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." So let's be wise and intelligent with our words. I hope that this was practical and helpful, especially in those awkward moments, to be wise and loving with our words, the timing of them, without resorting to repeating a phrase that we may not really understand, and we may do more harm than good with saying it. Well, hey, I'll be talking to you again soon, but don't forget to like this video, this podcast, subscribe to us, follow, share this with others who are doubting or searching as well in their journey toward God or with Christ. And just remember, just follow Jesus, because when you do, you'll always follow the truth.